1, 2, 3.
Today in the studio, it's the timeless, enduring, influential second album from Led Zeppelin.
That established us, really. That established the whole thing, you know, the energy that was going on. And we were shaping this way more into sort of the rock, you know, idiom, I suppose, as opposed to, as you say, on the earlier one, you know, the blues.
The critics were lukewarm,
but we played a storm. We had queues right three times around the block and stuff like that, playing in small clubs. It was big, it was real hot, and it was this whole thing about Zeppelin not having the same attractivity in Britain is wildly misinterpreted, because the whole thing about Britain is that it has a different attitude towards music anyway. Welcome back to In the Studio for Led Zeppelin. I'm Robert Plant.
Hello there, this is Jimmy Page in the studio for Led Zeppelin 2.
In October 1969, something equivalent to a Mount St. Helens eruption shook the pop music world. The release of British foursome Led Zeppelin's second album, so soon after their electrifying debut, only 9 months earlier, was more like a musical seismic event than a mere album offering. Writing in the All Music Guide, Stephen Thomas Erlewine points out that, quote, "The overall sound of Led Zeppelin II is heavy and hard, brutal and direct. While the album doesn't have the eclecticism of the group's debut, it's arguably more influential. After all, nearly every one of the hundreds of Zeppelin imitators used Led Zeppelin II, with its lack of dynamics and its pummeling riffs, as a blueprint," end quote. Singer Robert Plant, drummer John Bonham, who like Plant was a relative newcomer, bass player and keyboard man John Paul Jones, who was a young but in-demand London session musician, and Jimmy Page, a gifted session guitar wunderkind and the last guitarist for the original Yardbirds. They all picked a first song to rehearse, predictably from Page's Yardbirds repertoire. But nothing in rock and roll would ever be the same after that first rehearsal. Here's Jimmy Page with me in the studio.
We all got in to this really, really tiny room. It was about, believe me, it was about twice the size of this. All four. Yeah, mind you, we didn't have as much equipment as what we've got now, or what we had in the later days. And we did Train Kept a Rolling. And that was it. We just knew that it was happening. And then after that, the rehearsal started in my house. Top part of my house, I tell you what, and this was on the River Thames. I tell you what, it must have travelled this noise. The neighbours were magic, actually. They never complained once. We were still rehearsing there, actually, when we were rehearsing the second album.
Give you my love.
leading off the album and, more importantly, exploding onto American Top 40 radio 40 years ago, that's Whole Lot of Love from Led Zeppelin II. Initial British reviews of the first album were not all superlative, so I asked guitarist-songwriter Jimmy Page if he considered any of it when writing Led Zeppelin II.
I knew it was really good, what we were doing. Good Lord, I knew it was good. We did a few dates in England, quite a few, actually, and I don't know what the undercurrent was, but it was just like, yeah, they're okay. But it wasn't until we got over here and played at, I think it was the Fillmore, that suddenly we went in right at the, must have gone in right at the right time, because there was Country Joe and the Fish were on, and of course, you know, all those sort of family bands like that, and Taj Mahal, I believe, was on that, and I'm not sure, I think so. But all those bands had become so sort of like, it was like a big family, you know. And suddenly we just went in there and started off with all this stuff, and they just didn't know what had hit them. And they just went wild. And then suddenly there was this wildfire just spread across America. There's this band, Led Zeppelin, and it's really happening.
Led Zeppelin singer, lyricist Robert Plant acknowledges a cool reception by some in the British music press, while correctly drawing a distinction between them and the UK public reaction.
Now, the critics were lukewarm, but we played a storm. We had queues right three times around the block and stuff like that, playing in small clubs. It was big, it was real hot, and it was this whole thing about Zeppelin not having the same attractivity in Britain is wildly misinterpreted, because the whole thing about Britain is that it has a different attitude towards music anyway. It doesn't have the kind of intensity or the clamorous magnetic quality that it does over here. People kind of, 5 days a week, people are a little cool about, you know, I mean, it's funny, it's the way of the beast, really. In Scandinavia, it's different again, you know. In Hong Kong, it's different. It's just a kind of national attitude to expressing yourself, you know. America really gets on with it and has a good time, and throws its legs up in the air with gay abandon occasionally. Britain's a little more reserved, but it was still pretty hot.
Led Zeppelin did a club small theater tour of the U.S. immediately upon their debut's release. But by April of 1969, Led Zeppelin was back again touring the States, playing major outdoor festivals in Dallas, Atlanta, and Rhode Island. That left precious little time to write or record a follow-up. Here's Jimmy Page.
Obviously, some of it had been started before we came over here, but it was actually completed on the road, this one, more or less. Especially, well, What Is and What Should Never Be and Ramble On. I had those structures of those already done at home. I mean, I've been working on those in time. Whole Lot of Love was the last one that we actually rehearsed in the house. So I told you I did all the rehearsing in the house without any neighbours' complaints. And I think also, not sure about whether we actually attempted Since I've Been Loving You at that point or not. I don't think so. It's possible, though, because we had that written before we did started embarking on three. Whole Lot of Love and What Is and What Should Never Be, for definite, were done at the same studio that we recorded the first album at. Then we did Thank You and Living Loving Made in another studio in London. I hope this is correct. Yes, the rest of them were done over here. The rest of them were done over here on the road. What was happening was the energy of being on the road brought out a lot of these sort of Bringing On Home, for instance. I mean, that was made up in the studio, really. That was also recorded at the same time. That was recorded at Atlantic. Ramble On, I can't remember the name of that studio now. It doesn't exist anyway. But Moby Dick and... Heartbreaker was done also at Atlantic Studio. But Moby Dick and The Lemon Song, and certain overdubs and things to the other songs. I mean, it was all overdubs going on and everything. We were travelling with the tapes. They were done in the same studio that where Delphi was, where Richie Valens recorded. It's called Mirror Sound then, but that's now gone as well. There was actually a vocal overdub done in some studio in Canada where they didn't have a proper foldback system. It was done through a Revox with... it was crazy. Anyway, whatever, as we were going through that tour, the album was being, you know, worked on. Okay. This is the only time where the record company said, must have another album. It's the only time that this ever happened. But after that, we took our own time. But mind you, it was a great album. It's great. But it has got the energy of a touring band on the road, as far as I see it, you know?
And if I say to you tomorrow, take my hand, child, come with me. It's to a castle I will take you, where what's to be, they say, will be.
I guess the wind has been sail away, leave the day way up high in the sky. And low, but the wind won't blow, we really shouldn't go, it only goes to show. Say to me tomorrow, oh, what fun it all would be. Then what's to stop us, pretty baby? But what is and what should never be? I catch the wind, see it spin, sail away, leave the day way up high.
Led Zeppelin 2, that's What Is and What Should Never Be. Up next, Page and Plant return with a song about squeezing your lemon that would make Rachel Ray blush. For this and your other favorite rock star interviews, visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio for Led Zeppelin 2's.
Welcome back to In the Studio for Led Zeppelin. I'm Robert Plant.
Hi, this is Jimmy Page with my very good friend Redbeard. You better believe it.
Thank you, guys. Led Zeppelin 2, which Rolling Stone magazine ranks at number 76 on their top 500 albums all time. As producer of every Led Zeppelin album, Jimmy Page proved to be a genius at recording and arranging, truly the architect of a whole new trend in hard rock.
I wanted to get a lot of ambience in the instruments, which people weren't. You see, I'd worked in a studio and I knew how bad the guitar could sound with close miking and really dead studios. And the approach to the production was it must have the instruments sounding like instruments, you know, and drums sounding like drums and not sort of packing cases and suitcases. And that was purely ambience and miking, different miking techniques to what other people were using. Instead of close mics, it was distance and close as well. And of course, that went on and on to the degree where we started recording in, you know, big empty houses and things like that to get the ambience. But you see, just from the early record, you know, the early rock and roll records that I heard that turned me on, where they were just done in one, you know, with maybe one or two microphones, it was the sound of the room that helped, you see, and the balance of the band within that room. And I mean, some of them have got some phenomenal sounds on them, you know. I mean, for instance, some of the Presley RCA ones have got amazing things, amazing sound. I'd done a lot of studio work, so I could see the way that it was unflattering to instruments, which is all this close miking and putting a drum in a little booth and all that sort of stuff. You just have to let the instruments breathe.
unmistakable change in reverberation between those two songs, Heartbreaker butted up against Living Loving Maid, was because Led Zeppelin was recording while on their U.S. tour using a different studio and recording engineer on almost every song. Drummers in particular were fascinated by the recorded technique of Led Zeppelin's John Bonham, who, like The Who's Keith Moon, was a self-taught nonconformist, but with a unique and powerful style. Jimmy Page is still amused by reaction to Bonzo's ability to do drum rolls on his kick drum with 1 foot.
Well, on Good Times, Bad Times, let me tell you, that's his bass drum. That's his well, just one leg. A lot of people thought it was two bass drums, you know, but it wasn't. Amazing. Amazing man. I mean, I think with Bonzo's drumming, you can really, when you hear the Song Remains the Same album, if you don't have thousands of bootlegs, that is, you can hear, you know, how his... Well, I think you can hear from all of us how we stretch the numbers and, you know, how they would improve by the way that we're purely doing them on stage, you know, from like their initial recordings, you know, how they would grow as the band was growing and its sort of maturity and outlook and the adventures that it was taking in it as well. But you can hear his drumming, the sort of, you know, it's just fantastic.
Led Zeppelin lead singer Robert Plant minces no words as to the importance of John Bonham to the Led Zeppelin sound.
Without Bonzo, the band wouldn't have meant anything at all. Sure, I mean, he was the emulsifying agent. He was everything. He was the whole core of the thing. He was the guy who stopped it being just another rock band, really. At least in its performance, the writing. I mean, Jimmy's approach was so unique, and is so unique. But, I mean, Bonzo's whole delivery was the thing that made it what it is, was, and always will be.
People worry, baby. Can't keep you satisfied. wouldn't be here with all my troubles down on this killing floor. Sleep me, babe, till the juice runs down my leg.
Led Zeppelin from their second album with the Lemon Song. When we come back, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant share a song inspired by The Lord of the Rings over three decades before the film trilogy. For this and your other favorite rock star interviews, visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for Led Zeppelin 2.
Welcome back to In the Studio for Led Zeppelin. I'm Robert Plant.
Hello there. This is Jimmy Page in the studio for Led Zeppelin 2.
Thanks again, gentlemen. I'm Redbeard. With the time constraints of touring and record company deadlines, I was curious if any songs recorded for Led Zeppelin's debut ended up on the sophomore effort. Here's producer, guitarist, songwriter, Jimmy Page.
Oh, no. 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 There was another track, two tracks, actually, that never found their way onto there. One was with the... It was just with Steve Winwood and myself. It was something called The Bells, and it was this weird instrumental with acoustic and organ, and it never got any further than any extra guitars on it. And there was another one which was sort of, I suppose you could say, it wasn't like Time's on My Side, you know, the Stones thing. It wasn't like that, but that sort of vein. It was a slow ballad, you know, with a soul type of ballad, like the sort of thing Solomon Burke used to do, you know. And that never found light of day. That tape disappeared altogether. I don't know where that ever went. No, because I tried to collect them all together when we did Coda, to put all these things together. But unfortunately, that had gone the way of many of my possessions, probably on the bootleg market, but I don't know.
Ah. so tired. But I know I've got one thing I got to do. Ramble on. And now the time, is now. Sing my song. I'm going round the world. I gotta find my girl on my way. I've been this way 10 years to the day. Ramble on. I tried the queen of all my dreams. Got no time for spreading rumors. The time has come to be gone. Though I held sweet drink a thousand times, it's time to ramble on.
Robert Plant weaving lyrical references to J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings character Gollum and the mythical land of Morda. That's Ramble On from Led Zeppelin II. Plant recalls the pure, unadulterated essence of what these four musicians did, without outside direction, without pretense or marketing spin.
We were in a tiny weenie room with all this equipment, not really knowing what on earth we'd do and what on earth it would be like, and we just started playing, and it was like powerful stuff, you know? And we all knew then that this thing, no matter how it was exposed to people, primarily when you play music, you've got to please yourself. You know, you can't look at the chart or whatever it is and say, I've got to be there for that reason. And we knew this thing that we got here would kind of clear a lot of crap out of the way. It was like a big, big hammer going whoo.
Whole Lot of Love being played on stateside top 40 radio in the fall 1969 ignited a bonfire of popularity for Led Zeppelin, driving their second album to number one sales. But the thunderous sound of Whole Lot of Love also defined a precipice for the U.S. mainstream radio format. Everything influenced by Led Zeppelin II would have to find a more progressive, less restrictive home on the emerging FM frontier. Here's Jimmy Page.
That's right. That's right. I suppose that established us, really. That established the whole thing, you know, the energy that was going on. And we were shaping this way more into sort of the rock, you know, idiom, I suppose, as opposed to, as you say, on the earlier one, you know, the blues. Yeah. However, we've still got acoustic here on. Thank you. Thank you's got acoustic on it.
refused to shine, I would still be loving you. When mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me. Kind of woman, I give you my all. Kind of woman, nothing more.
Little drops of rain, whisper of the pain, tears of love lost in the days gone by. My love is strong, here there is no wrong. Together shall go until we die.
My, 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 inspiration's what you are to me. Inspiration, look, see.
Today my world, it smiles. Your hand in mine, we walk the miles. Thanks to you, it will be dark. For you to me, I'm the only one. All I said, happiness, no more be sad. If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. Mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me.
As Stephen Thomas Earl Wine, writing in the All Music Guide, called Led Zeppelin II the blueprint for all heavy metal bands that followed it. But that song, Thank You, pointed ahead to innovation that would follow on the third Led Zeppelin album. Here's an update. Led Zeppelin's U.S. sales, total of 110 million, places them second only to the Beatles as the most popular group in music history. Led Zeppelin Survivors played a one-off reunion concert in December 2007. It was a benefit at London's O2 Arena, using the internet to sell the 20,000 tickets by a lottery. Over a million requests for tickets in the first week completely crashed the site. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this.
This is Redbeard in the studio on the golden anniversary of Led Zeppelin II, thanking my guests Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2019, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, online at inthestudio.net.